And now we're going to look at the text of this 33rd Sunday of the year in Cycle B. The theme, ultimately, is judgment. And the end of this world as we know it. The Lord is clear that this world is going to end sometime, as our world ends when we die. And so, think about that, okay? The first reading is from the prophet Daniel. Daniel is the last of the prophetic type or apocalyptic books. And it's written in both Hebrew and Aramaic and so forth, but there's a vision there that is so precious, the Holy Spirit made sure it was canonical. And you see, there are these visions. The one we're looking at right now is in chapter 12 of Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard this word of the Lord. At that time, Michael the great prince shall arise, guardian of your people. There will be a time of unsurpassed distress since nations began until that time. At that time, your people shall escape everyone who was found written in the book. So he's talking now about a definitive time. This text is probably written about 160 BC or in there, when there has been such experience of warfare and kingdoms conquering each other, and then this prophet comes along and portrays it all in eschatological terms. Eschatological comes from eschaton, meaning ultimate or last. Eschatological times means ultimate times. One ultimate time is also going to be the last time. But there are other ultimate moments. For instance, the agony in the garden is an eschatological moment. And that's why Jesus comes back and says, watch and pray that you do not enter into the temptation. But they do. They fall asleep. So, Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people in unsurpassed distress, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament. And those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. So you see, these people are called the wise and those who lead others to righteousness. You see, they are the ones, the Masike Harava, the ones who lead to justice. That's close enough, I guess. They justify, too. They make just by giving them God's law, God's will, you see? And they are the ones who are going to be the ones leading this, you see? But there will be a time of great tribulation. Our Lord will talk about this, not so much on the part, there will be some on the part that are, we have from Mark 13 in the gospel for today. What's it saying? Life, human existence, creation is finite. It has an end. Temporal, and then an existence in another form after the great judgment. Okay? This, of course, is what is denied categorically by those who are building utopia. We are now just beginning the great era of the human race when we will all be living utopian lives and the government will be taking care, our leaders will care we have enough food, enough health, enough vacation. They will take care of us. All they ask of us is that we give them our money, our loyalty, our lives if they need them, and they will take care of the rest. You see? That's the time of the Great Tribulation. because there will be more than one utopian planner wanting to take over the world and run it. And I will be God. And they know there's a God. They know what they're doing. And that's why this book that I recommend to you, De Lubac's Atheist Humanism, is so insightful, because it sees how this is the temptation from darkness. Aided and abetted by the scientific revolution and the rest, we learn to control so much more, and are still learning to control so much more of our material universe, that we don't need God. But the whole purpose of this is not so much that as it is to be the savior of the world, give them security, peace, food, and take away from them the need to try to make ultimate decisions. The problem is, every human being does make ultimate decisions, even if they are, as these would be, illusions, you see. So, this is a time unsurpassed in distress. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. So then, that means that this time of great tribulation, as is described in the book of Daniel, is not going to be a great utopia. It's going to be persecution, and the wise, the holy, leading people to righteousness and having the right perspective on human life, as the martyrs all did, as the martyrs of our own day do. They have a perspective that this is not all of reality, and this reality itself is not under human domination. It's created and governed by God. And those who resent that, you see, are not atheists, they're anti-theists. They are against God, and they are determined to obliterate the name, the memory of God, and to run this world and to be recognized as its saviors. That's the temptation. And that's perennial, but it's marked so much from after a certain point, as De Lubac points out, in European thought. This was aided and abetted by the scientific revolution, but finally the idea that there's a God, we are projecting our own sense of being transitory and dependent on a figment of our imagination, or, depending on which of these thinkers you put the accent on, whether it be Feuerbach or Marx or Auguste Comte, and then the ones that follow from them. You see, but the wise shall be like the stars. Now, the psalm that the church picked for this, you see, is Psalm 16, which is very interesting, because Psalm 16 is the psalm that Peter quotes on his speech at Pentecost. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, it is you who hold fast my lot. You see, so different than trying to make a desert where I rule and there's nothing above me. I rule and I help everybody. I am God. And this says, you are my allotted portion, you who hold fast my lot. I set the Lord before me always, and with him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. You see how the psalm is teaching us the whole other attitude from the one that is inculcated in striving for an atheist humanism, you see. Therefore my heart is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body too abides in confidence. Do you understand what he's saying? You see? Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. That's how you're going to take care of me. I'm eternal. These are the words from this Psalm 16 that Peter quotes at Pentecost, right? And he raised him from the dead, as it says in the Psalm, "You will not allow my abandon my soul to the netherworld, or allow your faithful one to undergo corruption." Now that is fulfilled in Jesus now, and in us who believe in him and obey him, that will be our lot forever. That's humanism. That's divine humanism. First, to suffer and die for us, to set us free from the power of death and illusion, and then to bring us, body and soul, to eternal life forever. That's the contrast. You see, as St. Augustine says, there's only two cities. One is built by the contempt of God to the glorification of self. The other is to the contempt of self and to the glorification of God. And that's all there is. There's two cities. That's it. You're going to wind up in one or the other. And so the temptation of our age, as I've said several times already, you see, is this atheist humanism or anti-Christian humanism. Man is the norm, and man must be the primary care, and man has to take care of himself because there is no God. That's our projecting of our helplessness onto somebody else. You see the depth of this darkness that surrounds us, you see? You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. Do you see? This is what God promises. You see, the delights at your right hand forever. You see, the other is a rebellion against death. I might make a world empire. I might be recognized as the savior of the world, have the best GNP, the best roads, the best everything, but I die. And there's nothing anybody can do to stop that except Jesus Christ, who died, so that those of us who were baptized into his death and feed on his body and blood will have our bodies eternal forever. And those are the options. And so you see that this 33rd Sunday is already picking up the theme from the 34th, which is Christ the King. You see, he is our Savior. He is the one who can care for us, you see. And so that is the message and the vision of this prophecy from Daniel and the psalm that celebrates God's personal care for us. And it's the movement of the world. It is either going to go with God or rebel against God. And we are living in a time of open rebellion against God. Science is our God. And by science, we are going to control the universe and therefore control humanity. Some of us will lay down our lives to care for the others. There'll be no more poverty, no more this, no more that. I will see to it. That is the pride that killed 100 million people in China, 20 million people in Russia, 10 million people in Germany. That is the temptation of the 21st century. Amen.